Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll move into our prayer time and everything. Go ahead with the VBS. There will be no meeting tonight. It's in the bulletin, but we will not have a meeting tonight. All your VBS materials on the front, teachers, and they are labeled for what classes. They are on the front pew here. Please pick them up as you leave after the worship service today. They are also posters on the front. If you need know where they can maybe be given out or put up around town or somewhere like that, please take one or two or three. We can always make more, and let's get that out on that. Still need Christmas, it's not Christmas, but we need Christmas trees for VBS. So if you're planning on getting a new Christmas tree, you have to replace the artificial ones every 4 or 5 years because the lights go out. I know.
Or if you forget to order.
Well, you don't want it. Artificial Christmas trees, y'all. Well, if you want to bring a live one, that's fine, but don't bring your old dead one. Did I help you out there? Okay. Because I'm sure yours is probably still in the backyard. No. We do need Christmas trees. Please, you can start bringing them to the church and all, because VBS is the 17th through the 21st. Decorations will be available. If there's any teachers, if there's anything you need as you look at the material and go over that, let Cassie or Katie know and give them plenty. Go ahead and look at the material if you will, because so they can order it. Okay? Just let them know, they'll get it ordered, and we'll get it here. Still need kindergarten teacher, so please be praying about that. Anything else about VBS? Sissy, was that? Have I missed anything?
No. If you look, teachers, this. If you look in the pamphlet, it's saying you need stickers. The stickers have been ordered. Okay, so don't freak out over that.
Stickers have been ordered.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank y'all for that. Do not forget the offering for Mission Dignity is Sunday, May the 19th. It started last Sunday. It'll go through Father's Day, June 16th. You can designate it on the envelope if you give cash, or if you can write a check, just put on it. Make it out to the church, but just put for Mission Dignity on that. Standing in the Gaps Men's Supper is June the 13th at 7 p.m. The Hope Room is in need of plastic containers if you would like to donate. See Jan Hall or Sissy Ormer. We need to restock the food pantry. Please help by donating non-perishable items. Ask the preacher, what questions would you like to ask? Write out your question the best you can using topic versus doctrine. Not a must, but if you've feel like it, write your name just in case he needs to contact you for clarification. The box, say the box in the back as you come into church here, you can just put your questions in that box, and in the near future, and you're going to start on Wednesday nights, he'll start addressing the questions and going over those. We had 25 in Sunday school this morning, so please encourage everyone to continue to support our Sunday school, and that we got classes for everyone. Any other announcements?
Kevin's birthday was on.
We're going to get to that. Thank you for reminding Mr. Harrell, because he needs reminding.
We couldn't forget that.
Yeah, but we'll get to that in just a minute. If there's no other announcements, I do want to thank you today. This is Memorial Day weekend. Mini sermon. Okay. I have permission.
Yes.
Okay. Mini sermon. We do not want to forget the men, and I'm sure Brother Tim, we do not want to forget the men and women that have sacrificed their lives for this country. I'm a history buff. I enjoy history. It comes out in my Sunday school class sometimes and all, in our Sunday school class. But if you go back to the founding of this country, if you go back to the Pilgrims, why did the Pilgrims leave England? Two basic reasons. They left freedom of religion. The Church of England during that time was telling the pastors what to preach. They were telling the pastors what to pray. And if you did not fall in line, you were punished. The church had come to the point where what? They felt like they had to be in favor with the state. The Pilgrims left for that reason and for freedom of speech. And that has stayed with the founding of this country since. And we've got all these other rights, y'all, I know. But the men and women that have died for this country have died for freedom of religion, for us to continue that, to worship as we can. And that's freedom of all religion, I know that. And for the freedom of speech. I don't know if you ever heard of Alex de Tocqueville. He was a French historian in the 1830s. He came over. I know about him because I had to read the two volumes. He wrote two volumes of books in my classes in college and everything. He came to the United States in the 1830s, y'all. He came over here under the pretense of studying the criminal justice system because it was going through a lot of reform during that time. But he actually came to study the American society and the freedoms that we have, because he did not have that in France. And I want to read a quote from you, and it is so relevant to the men and women that have died serving our country and our freedoms here. He says, he wrote this in 1830s, y'all, "Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." And I think that fits with our men and women that have served this country so well and have held to the point that we need these freedoms. So we want to remember that. Okay. Any birthdays? Oh, Kevin?
I know Kevin.
Any others?
Yeah, and I heard that Kevin went fishing for his birthday, and we'll probably be hearing about a fish fry before long. Hopefully. Happy birthday, Kevin. Let's all sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And anybody that would like to join us on our fishing adventures are more than welcome.
Thank you. As we move into our prayer time, Alice and Mike will be traveling back to Atlanta, I think, tomorrow. So we need to continue to remember them, especially on Memorial Day weekend and the traffic for them. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning, Lord, and worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, we do just thank you for the men and women that have paid the ultimate sacrifice and lost their lives, Lord, serving this country, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we don't we honor them and we comfort their families and all, Lord, because we know it's a life-changing experience to lose a loved one, Lord, especially in war or even in peacetime if they're in the military, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for those families today, Lord, as we honor them and recognize them, Lord. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, as we move into this worship service today, Lord, that we focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord, that we have just remove all the distractions that may be going on, Lord. We know it's a busy time of year, Lord. We know that it's a holiday, Lord, and people are traveling and a lot is going on, Lord. But we have come together today to worship Jesus Christ. And, Lord, I just want to lift Brother Tim up to you as he shares your word this morning with us, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we just not listen, Lord, but we hear, Lord. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
You know, the longer I'm on this old word, the more I realize that freedom is not free at all. I think for a lot of years, I know I did, took things for granted, but what an honor and a blessing it is to be here to worship in freedom. And freedom's not free. It costs a lot. It cost our Lord his life on the cross to pay for our sin debt. And we live in a country where we can come worship this morning in freedom. That's an awesome opportunity, and it costs a lot of people their life to maintain that freedom. But God has all this, and he's in control, and his plan is coming together. So let's all this morning just remember that our freedoms are not free. And this morning we're going to start out with America the Beautiful. If you'll please stand. If you can stand, please stand. And we're going to sing that. It should be on screen. And I think it's karaoke style, so we can kind of follow the words.
glory.
Thank you. people that attend, people that message me, we have open hearts and just not only just listen, but just take out these walls and bridge over. I'm just having Father's name out there.
Yeah. want to honor and remember those who have paid the ultimate price for our freedoms. I'm going to ask if you have a family member, I don't care if it's your uncle, your cousin, your grandma, great, 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 whoever they are, if you have lost a family member in service to our country, will you stand this morning for just a moment? Let's honor these that have paid. Thank you. I don't think you can come to a patriotic holiday without saying Pledge of Allegiance. So I'm going to ask y'all, will stand with me where you're going to pledge allegiance to our American flag. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Maybe see. It's kind of a struggle sometimes as a pastor to know what to preach around holidays. But since we're in the book of 1 John, I want to continue on this because ultimately it does fit in with Memorial Day because Jesus Christ is the one who paid the ultimate price for our freedom from sin. And so if you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 John chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 7. The title of my message this morning is simply God's Love. God's love. But I want us to look at this and see how we can apply these things to our lives. And if we know God's love, then it should affect us in how we show love to others. Because the two greatest commandments are first to do what? Love God half-heartedly. With all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So that means that everything we do in life covers every area of our lives should be first and foremost to love God and show God our love. But as a result of showing God our love, how do we live that out? Because can you give God anything he needs? Is there anything he does need? We show God our love by loving one another. And if we love one another the way we should and the way we are supposed to, we are worshiping and praising God in our lives and what we do. So let's just begin reading 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. This is what John writes. He said, "Beloved, let us love who? One another, for God is... For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this love, the love of God, was manifested toward us, that while God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior to the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. We pray with me. Heavenly Father, we have seen, Lord, we have read your word and how you have loved us. Lord, have you have shown us that love. But Lord, as we've been looking at the test that we can test ourselves with, Lord, we realize this is a repeating theme throughout 1 John. The love that we have for you should be manifest. It should be shown in how we love one another. Lord, if we hate somebody, if we totally dislike, disregard somebody, Lord, how does your love abide in us? How can we truly say that we belong to you when we have hate, and we hold grudges, and won't forgive one another? Lord, I pray that you have your way in our hearts and lives today. Lord, help us to choose to follow you, to be part of you, Lord, so that we won't stand ashamed in the day of judgment. Lord, that we will have truly been perfected and be matured in our faith and in our love for you and for each other. Lord, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing we realize today is that the word love in the verses we just read is mentioned 26 times. Why do you need to count that? Because when you're studying the Bible, you try to figure out what words are repeated, because if God says something one time, it's good enough. But if he says it more than once, you better listen up, because it's something he really wants to get across to you. And 1 John, as we've been seeing from the very beginning, is about love, about love, about love toward God, love toward each other. It is a recurring theme over and over and over again. Because you're like, well, didn't we just study this last week? Yeah, and a week four, and a week four, and a week four. Because it is a recurring thing. But, you know, here's the thing about us, and I'm including myself. Sometimes we think we're good with God. Amen? How many of you think you're good with God? Just don't raise your hand. But sometimes you get mad at somebody, say something you shouldn't have said, wrong heart, wrong attitude, and all of a sudden you feel the Holy Spirit kick you in the backside, you know. We think we're doing good. And we say, well, as I said before, I might have been even last week, you know, some people say, well, I just love everybody. But then they'll go through and they'll talk behind somebody's back and they'll say, I just can't stand that person, or I hate so-and-so. And you know, you're really left wondering, oh, it's okay to say I hate what they do, okay? But to hate somebody for who they are, for what they are, for what they look like, or what you think about them is a different story. Love. We have to first understand love's source. Love comes from who? From God. And as I mentioned last week, you can't know love until you know God. Okay? And if you know God, then you know love. The two go hand in hand. And so as we look at this, we realize that John here is talking about love's source, that it comes from God, because it tells us there in verses 7 and 8 that God is love. And God is love, and so the source of love, true love, again, not lust, but love, is of God. And so as we realize that, we have to understand God's love for us. How many of you have ever bought a gift for somebody that you love? Raise your hand. Why do we do that?
Because
you want to show them you love, right? How many times, how much money is spent year after year on relationships trying to make them better? Billions, trillions, probably. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Here's my point here. If God is not the center of your home, if he's not the center of your relationship with your spouse, with your children, then you are building your house in vain. You're building your house in vain because unless the Lord builds it, you're just working for nothing. I'm not saying it's not important. What I'm saying is that putting God first in our lives is the greatest thing, because once we understand the love that God has for us, then we can begin to love our spouse and our children as we should. We've seen love's source, but in verses 9 and 10 of 1 John chapter 4, we realize that God's love has been demonstrated for us. When God chose to love us, he didn't just write a book and send it to us. He didn't write a postcard and mail it to us. He didn't just have the words written down in the Bible so that they could always have a record of what he said. When God chose to show his love, he didn't look for bargains. He didn't look for half-off deals. What did he do? When God chose to show his love, to demonstrate his love, he didn't look for ways around it. He sent his very best. In those verses, John is saying, listen, God has sent his love. He's demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I know that's a different verse, but what I'm saying is this. God sent his very best. He didn't try to cut corners. He sent his very best so that you and I would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has love for us. He demonstrated that love. He didn't just send a card, a love note, or flowers, or chocolates. He sent the thing that was most dear to himself, and that was Jesus. You say, why did he have to do that? Well, he loved it so much that Hebrews 9:22 tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is what? There's no remission. There's no forgiveness of sin. And so you and I have to have had somebody who loved us enough to come down the cross in our place, because that is what I deserve. That's what you deserve. But God sent the very best he had, his son, to take your place and take my place. He demonstrated it by his loving us, by his giving us. John 3:16. Outside of John 3:16, that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have what?
Everlasting
life. Outside of that verse, I think these verses here in 1 John chapter 4, in verses 9 and 10, probably it is some of the greatest examples of the gospel in just a few verses. Because it is God who sent his son to be the payment that we deserved punishment. We deserve death. We deserve eternal separation. But God showed us his love instead. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were still, what?
Sinners.
How many of y'all are sinners today? Hopefully we're all saved sinners, amen? But we're all sinners. God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did he die only for us? He died for everybody. Everyone who believes. Everyone who will call on the name of Jesus. He will forgive their sins. So here's the question there. We find God's, the love of God, the source of love. We see love demonstrated. But the question is, how do we reflect God's love? Does the moon give off light? That's a trick question now.
It reflects light.
It reflects what light?
The sunlight.
All right. Let's put this in pranks for just a moment. Well, I wouldn't use awful points, but I got stuff in. let's take the sun. The sun's burning bright, right? How many of y'all got to see the auroras the other night? Y'all didn't get out there and see them. Man, y'all missed them. I've been wanting to see them my whole life and finally got to see them.
Brother, they all right on here?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
The whole sky was pink and purple. Here's the thing. Yeah, y'all get me off on a rabbit trail, I'll never get back. You got the sun shining, right? You got the moon. What's the moon doing? It's moving around what?
The earth.
But the sun's shining, and the sun's shining on the earth, and the sun's shining on the moon part of the day, right? Because other times it's behind the earth, it can't get sunlight. It's reflecting light. As God's love is showing into our hearts, how are we reflecting God's love on to others as the sun's shining? Because let's say that the sun is God, right? And through God and his son Jesus, they're shining on us and they're lighting up the earth and the moon, right? But how are we reflecting the love and the light of God onto those around us? Now, see, we could just walk around and tell everybody, I love you, right? Does that do any good? Do words mean anything? Depends, right? They do and they don't. Because your words can just be words, but words without meaning have no value. But if you mean what you say and you show what you mean, and that's why we usually give gifts to the people we love and care about, right? But we're showing that we love them through what we do, through what we say, through what we give. How are we reflecting God's love for us onto those who are around us? Because isn't that the reality of the church in this world? We are to be lights in a perverse and crooked generation, a dark generation. We are to be the light. This church should be the lighthouse in this community because it has a whole bunch of lights in it, right? But when we go outside this door, the doors of this church, do we stop shining lights? Shouldn't. But what often happens in reality? Well, we do what Jesus said. You're not supposed to light a lamp, put it on a lampstand, but not put a bushel over it, right? We're supposed to be lights to everywhere we go and to shine the love of Christ. But we do this primarily by reflecting God's love. How are we doing that? How are we showing God's love for us? Are we showing it in the same quantity, the same quality that he shows to us? Are we loving others as he loved us? Are we forgiving others as he has forgiven us? Are we providing and taking care of and being compassionate to others as he has been to us? You see, there's a reality is I can say that I know God loves me, and I can say that I love God, but if I'm not showing other people God's love, then does the love of God truly belong in me? Or is it even in me? Because I can say something, but if I don't mean it, if it's not showing up in my life, how has it changed me? If I say I believe something, it should have an effect on how I live. Because if it has an effect in how I live, then here again, is it real faith? Because even John says here, how can you, and I'm paraphrasing, how can you say you love God but hate somebody else? How does the love of God abide in that person who says they love God but hates everybody? Or hates even one person? I want us to think about this for a minute. We're going to look at this passage, John 14:21. Listen to what Jesus said. This is Jesus telling us how to reflect his love towards us. Says Jesus, speaking here, says, he who has my commandments and keeps them. I want us to think about those two things right there. We'll come back. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who
loves me.
And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. In other words, that word manifest means to show or to demonstrate, to light up. Okay? So, number one, we are to have his, if we love God, we should have his commandments. Now, does that mean that we go down, we don't have Lifeway stores anymore, maybe got them all out. Does that mean we just go buy a Bible and bring it home and say, okay, I've got God's commandments. That's your coffee table, right? And you never pick it up, you never read it. What good does it do to have his commandments if I don't know them? Amen? Come on. It's not that I just have them. It doesn't mean that I bring it home and I put it underneath my pillow and hope each time it's going to soak through my pillow and soak into my head. Osmosis doesn't happen with the Word of God if you don't open it up and read it. Amen? It doesn't happen. We have to take the Word of God and learn His commandments. And then as we learn His commandments, I'm going to tell you one more right here. I often hear people say, I read the Word of God and I don't understand it. Can I tell you to keep on reading? I don't understand everything about the Bible. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just simply saying, listen, the more you read, the more you try to learn, the more God reveals of himself. That's why Jesus said, or John said in the same passage, well, Jesus says he will manifest himself to them. The more you try to understand, the more he's going to show you, the more he's going to give you. Have his commands and keep his commands. You can't keep his commands. Y'all remember when you had to take the driver's ed class in school, anybody? Did y'all remember getting this little book yet? It's probably all online now. I don't even know if they print them little books and driver's handbooks. Did y'all ever have to read them things?
Yep.
Why do you have to read the driver's handbook?
Because
they said so. To learn what to do and what not to do. And if you're not fully pleasing to the state of Georgia and a police officer or a highway patrol or a sheriff's deputy sees you committing a violation, what are they going to do? They're going to give you a ticket. Now, necessarily, God's not giving us tickets. But God does expect us because he has given us his word, his commandments, so that we can learn them and learn from them. Paul said these things were written for our admonition. They've been written so that you and I can learn what to do and what not to do, how to make good choices and avoid making bad choices. But as I said in this verse, have his commandments and then keep them, do them. And listen to what Jesus promises here. He says, and he who loves me, this is how we show God's love back to him, by having his commands, by keeping them. It's he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The more we try to understand God's word, the more he's going to help us understand his word. It's like pieces of a puzzle. Y'all ever try to put together a 1,000-piece puzzle? Them little tiny bitty pieces. And they all look the same, amen? They're all the same colors, and you're like, how in the world? Sometimes that's the way God's word is, but the more we read, the more we understand, the more we pull from here, the more we pull from there, and pretty soon the picture begins to come together and we can see it more clearly. But we have to keep his command. We have to understand them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by
inspiration
of who?
God.
And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, let me just ask this question. How many of us believe that is true this morning? I do. Now, if it's true, how many of us practice that? How many of us actually take time? Because the verse before that, verse 15, is what Paul says. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, it's not just about learning enough to get saved and then say, okay, I can close my Bible and never open it again. It is about studying to show myself approved to God, a workman, a worker, because if we are owned now by God, then we should be serving him. And to be able to serve him, we should want to know what pleases him and displeases him and avoid that. Be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But you know, here's the thing. The Bible, and I went back and looked, the Bible is the number one best-selling book of all time. It's not just a book to be owned, it's a book to be read. Amen? Number one bestseller of all time. But how many of us actually take time to read God's love letter to us? Imagine this for just a moment. Imagine that Amy, I'm going to use my wife for a moment. Amy writes me this huge love letter. She sent it by way of our one and only begotten son, Shane. Shane, on his way to deliver the letter to me, is put to death. I've received the letter, and I just took it and I put it in a leather binding, and I took it and I put it on the shelf somewhere, and I'll get around to reading it later. Got a question for you. If Amy asked me some years later, did you read my letter that I sent to you? Well, I've been meaning to, I just haven't had time. I just don't understand it. It's just too hard. Do you think any of my words of love and appreciation for her would amount to anything? Would my words have any value in them at all to her if I wouldn't even take time to read her love letter to me? It wouldn't. But you know, that's the same thing we do with God time and time again. He sent man after man, after holy man of God who were inspired by God to write these holy scriptures, a love letter from God to each one of us. And how do we treat his love letter? Do we ever take time to learn it, to be students of it, to try to understand it? You say, well, it's just too hard. Well, as I said earlier, just keep on reading. Don't give up. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but just before I got up here, we sang the song, Oh, How I Love Who?
Jesus.
Don't raise your hand. Did you mean what you said? How are you showing? You said, well, I've got his commands. I've got it. Are you keeping it? Are you reading it? Are you trying to understand it? Are you trying to put it into practice in your mouth? Or are the words that you sang a while ago just words from your mouth, but not from your heart? Love's display. It's not just enough to accept the love that God has given to us. That's the first step. But we are to display God's love for us towards others. John 13:35. I know I'm jumping ahead here, but go ahead and pull that up. Jesus said, by this all. What does all mean? By this all will know you are my disciples, my followers, my little Christ who are learning to be like me. All will know you are my disciples if, that's a big word, but it's a condition word. If you have love for who? For yourself, for one another. How are we displaying God's love to others? Finally, there's love's reaction. How do we respond to God's love? Well, some of us here today may say, well, I've never been saved. I've never received the love that Christ has for me, that God has for me, and maybe you need to accept that today. Maybe you need to believe and repent of your sins and ask Jesus into your heart to change it, to make it whole, to make it new, to experience the love that God has for you. And if that's you, when we start saying this, come forward. But then there are some of us today that would say, you know, I have God's commandments, but I haven't been being faithful to read them. I haven't been taking time to even study God's word on a daily basis. I've never maybe been saved 8 years. You've never read the Bible. Why not? Read it. Maybe you need to make a commitment today that from today forward, you're going to start. And I'm not going to tell you how much you read. I'm just going to say start reading somewhere and begin making a daily habit to read. And if time allows, read more, read more, read more. Because you begin to read, you begin to understand, hey, Paul said this over there, John said this over there, and they're saying the same thing. It's because it's inspired by God. What decision do you need to make today? Are you loving God? Are you loving others the way He intends for us to love him and love others. We stand with him. Heavenly Father, as we go into this kind invitation, Lord, I thank you for being everything in you, for providing all that we needed, Lord, to have a relationship with you. Lord, you have demonstrated that love for us. You have shown us that love. And that love comes straight from you. Lord, sometimes we have rejected that love in our own lives. Sometimes we have just clearly been selfish, Lord, about taking the love that you have shown to us, but Lord, we have not been showing it to those around us the way we should. Lord, forgive us. Lord, help us today to make a decision to follow you, to, Lord, just be obedient, to keep your commandments. Lord, and the first two are to love you and love others as ourselves. Lord, I pray that whatever decision we need to make today, Lord, you would be honored and glorified. Lord, and as you are, I pray, Lord, that you would draw all of us closer to you. Lord, help us now to make the decisions that would honor you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 282.